I invite you to turn with me to John chapter number 12. And we're going to start reading in verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. I don't know if we'll get this far, but let me read it. The Bible says in verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of them. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Would you help us pray and you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here this morning. Lord, thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the sweet mercies of God. Thank you for the sweet presence of God this morning here on the property today and already before everybody else got here. Thank you for when Sunday school started. Thank you for the good time with singing. And God, to be able to lift up our voices and sing praises unto you is such a blessing. Lord, I pray this morning, you know the hearts and minds of every person in this room. You know that those that might be listening across the internet waves and all that kind of stuff. You got all that in your hand. You're in control of all of that. Father, I just pray, Lord, that I'd yield myself to you this morning. Help me preach with power and unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Help me preach with a burden. Help me preach, thus saith the Lord. Help me say nothing I don't need to say. Guard me from that, Lord. And then I pray everything I need to say, give me a holy boldness to say it. I pray, God, you clarity my speech. Save the lost tonight, this morning. God, please convict them and draw them to yourself. And then for the saved, I pray you draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of God this morning. Just to remind you where we're at, we've got the triumphant entry is the beginning of chapter number 12. And at the triumphal entry, that crowd that is around him as he is riding in on the donkey, as around Jesus, as he's riding in on that donkey, they are hailing him as the Messiah. They are hollering out, Hosanna, Hosanna. They are recognizing him as the king. And they wanted this king to finally, they were waiting for him. And now they thought, yes, this is it. He's finally here. But they viewed the Messiah as an earthly king. All they could see and all they could understand was that the Messiah was going to come as this powerful military leader, and he's going to overthrow Rome, and that he's going to set up the throne, and now everything's going to be good, and Israel's going to be free, and the Messiah's going to take care of all their enemies. And that's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus did when he got in. Matter of fact, if you've got to do the chronological order kind of stuff, John skipped some things in chapter 12. But we know from putting the harmonies of the Gospels together that when he rode in, he didn't overthrow the throne. He went in and overthrew some tables. Right? It's here where the second time that he goes into a temple, it's in this time frame where he goes in and he sees these money changers and he sees these people selling sacrifices in the temple and them robbing each other and robbing God of glory. And he sees all the mess that's going on in the house of God, and he doesn't overflip. He doesn't flip over the throne of Rome, but he flips over those tables of money changers. He grabs the little whip and he begins to drive out the animals. He opens the bird cages and lets the turtle doves go. I mean, he's making a scene. And these people are thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not supposed to be messing with us. You're supposed to be messing with them. And Jesus doesn't do it like they want him to do it. Can I just stop and take a time out and say something they don't want to know? Jesus don't always do it like we want him to do it. A lot of times we're pointing our finger and say, deal with them, deal with them, deal with them. And all the time God says, no, I got to deal with you. I got to deal with you. Hey, listen, I want to remind you of something, church, that the judgment's got to start down the house of God. Hey, listen, before we can look at what's happening out there, we must look at what's happening in here and what's happening in here. And before I personally can look at what's happening with other people, I must remember, hey, that God's got to deal with me. Oh, Lord, search me, deal with me. And they didn't like that. Can I just say and be honest with you? Oh, I don't like that either. Most people don't like God dealing with their sin. I remember as an early preacher and a young preacher, I'm still young by the way, I'd roll into a church that I'd never been before, and I'd begin to preach against sin hot, and man, I'd preach against alcohol and they'd shout me down, amen, preacher. I'd preach against rock and roll music and hip hop music, amen, preacher. I'd preach against the Democrats, amen, preacher. I didn't even know what they were, but I'd preach against them anyway. But I'd preach against stuff and man, everybody go, amen. But then I'd get in there, them sins that's sitting on the pew. I'd get in them sins that you can't grab a hold of and get rid of. You know, I'd preach against things that you could handle and you could say, all right, get rid of that and get rid of this. And people say, amen. But then when they started doing some, when the Holy Spirit started doing some surgical removals, it got real quiet. And you know why it got real quiet? It's because we like getting on everybody else's sin, but man, we don't want you getting on ours. And that's where these Jews were as a nation. We wanted you to handle Rome. We wanted you to take care of Rome. I mean, you know, Herod and Pilate and all that crowd, not us. And so Jesus, he rebuffs their attempts to force him on the throne. He says, I'm not here to make political, I'm not here to be politically in power yet. I'm not here for military power yet. I'm not here to deliver you from the bondage of political and military rule. I'm here to deliver you from sin. And listen, the only way you're ever going to be delivered from sin is recognizing you got some. And to realize that you are a sinner. Listen, and let me say this. That is true for salvation. And Christian, that is true for sanctification. You're never going to be delivered from that sin that's got you in bondage until you recognize it's sin that's got you in bondage. Stop making up these excuses, justifying yourself, making up these excuses of trying to say, well, this is why I do this. No, we do it because we're sinners. We do it because we mess up and stuff. And so anyway, I'm getting all off my notes. So let me say where I'm at here. And so then not only did he not deal with who they wanted him to deal with, now he's starting to talk about dying. He started talking about this corn of wheat falling and dying and bringing forth fruit. And then he starts talking about being lifted up. And they understand he's talking about dying on a cross. And they don't like that. I mean, they don't like the idea and they can't grasp the idea that the Messiah is going to be murdered. I mean, listen, even his disciples were slow to accept that. I mean, they really didn't accept it until it was happening, right? I mean, they just could not grasp. And listen, when they see what he's dealing with and they hear him talking about dying, all of their hopes are shattered. All of their hopes have now fallen because now they thought this was the Messiah. I mean, they were hollering about it in the street. They had laid their palm leaves down. They had laid their cloaks down. And now they have put their final verdict on him. He's not the Messiah. He's an imposter. He's not. That's what verse 34 is all about. I didn't read that tonight, but this morning, but the people answering, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? You must not be him. We were just shouting about it, but now we're doubting about it. Hello? You ever been there? You ever been there where you were shouting about the goodness of God, shouting about how God was going to take care of everything, shouting about how God's got everything in control, and it may not be in the next day, it might not be the next hour, you was doubting that he was good, you was doubting that he was in control, you was doubting that he was going to deliver you out of what you wanted to be or needed to be delivered out of? Maybe I'm the only one who's been like that. I've left the meetings high and end up just that afternoon being low again. Well, that's where they were. Their hopes were all shattered. But I love this. But though here they are again, listen to me, willfully rejecting Jesus. Here they are again, willfully, not ignorantly. They know what they're doing. They know who he is, and they are willfully rejecting him again. Watch this. We see his persistence with them. We see his intense love for them, and we see Jesus extend one final invitation to the nation of Israel. He's given them one more shot to acknowledge him as Lord. And say, and aren't you glad, even when we do get in those doubt times, even when we do get in those pouting times, even when we get in those times where we are wondering if God can or if God will or all that, aren't you glad that his love is persistent? And then he still extends his love towards us and his mercy towards us. Well, that's what he does to them. We see his compassion cry out in this text. We see in verses 35 and 36 what I believe the final invitation for the nation of Israel. And really, one man titled from verse 35 to the rest of the chapter, "The Day the Lights Went Out." And I could say that'd be true if you read this, and we'll look at it. We won't get all of it today, but here's what he does. We hear this cry in verse 35 and 36 of a compassionate Savior. We hear a cry of an invitation to salvation, but then we hear a warning from the Lord. He says this in verse 35. "Yet a little while." Yet a little while is the light with you. I thought about light. I thought about the light. You know, John's gospel starts off telling us who that light is. When John begins to pin down this gospel account, he begins to pin down things about John the Baptist. And then he starts pinning down that John the Baptist was not the light, but he was to bear witness of the light. And that as he was going to bear witness of that light, that true light which lighteth every man come into the world. He says that John the Baptist was to be witness of the light. Jesus said himself that he was the light of the world. He said it in John chapter 1, he was, or John chapter 8, and in John chapter 9, he was the light of the world. And here in John chapter 12, he tells these people, "A little while is the light with you." And here he is referencing himself, no doubt, this light, the light. He said, "This light's among you." Now, Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, "But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with." And he says this, "But even this day, nevertheless, it shall," I messed up here. He said that Jesus was the light. He said that Jesus was the light. I've got the wrong verse there. 2 Corinthians 4, sorry. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul said he's the light of the glory of God. He is the light. Jesus says, "I am the light." He says, "Yet a little while, the light's with you." You know, Jesus used that term a lot, "a little while." He used that phrase "a little while" a lot to emphasize that he wasn't going to be here long. That his remaining time on earth was brief. He said it in chapter number 7, verse 33, "Yet a little while I'm with you, then I go unto him that sent me." He told his disciples, we'll see it in chapter number 13, while they were in the upper room, he said this, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now as I say to you," he said, "a little while I'm with you." And later on in John's gospel in chapter number 16, we're going to see this. He says, a little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Here's the thing. Here's the crutch of what he's saying when he says, yeah, a little while. He's saying this. He knows the short time remains for people to hear and respond to him. Can I just say this, that though he is specifically talking to these people about him physically being in front of them, may I just say, I believe it's still true today, yet a little while and the light is with you. Time's running out. Time is short. I mean, really, all of life is brief, isn't it? I mean, a span of life. You folks who have lived 70 plus years have talked and said it many a times, and I believe it, that it just seems like it's just flew by. Seems like life has just passed by. I'm getting to the stage in my life where I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was a few days ago, a few months ago, a few years ago. It's because life is just fleeting by. And many times I say it was the other day, and my wife says, no, that was a couple years ago. Because it feels like just the other day. Feels like it was just a moment ago. Life is passing us by. In reality, none of us even know how brief life is really even going to be for us. We could go, and I know we're talking about a lot, we could go to the cemetery there, and we could see people living well a life into their 80s, 90s, maybe there might be somebody there 100, I don't know. But then there's all scattered throughout the cemetery there. There are graves of little babies who only made it a few hours. We don't know how brief our life is going to be, but life is brief. And so yet a little while, you only got a little span of time to be saved. Be honest with you, I believe Jesus is coming back. You say, you think because all that's going on with Israel? No, because I believe my Bible. You say, what's that got? Oh, there's a lot got to do with that, but none of that's keeping Jesus from coming back. There, listen to me, I don't care what you see on some stinking YouTube, TikTok, or TBN, or what preacher says on TV, not one thing has to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back. Are you listening? Not one blood moon, not one solar eclipse. That's what when we had that solar eclipse the other day, I wrote on the board at the school in the Bible class, I put eclipse ? That's all I had on the one side of my board, and the rest of the board was blank. I said, all right, let's talk about the eclipse today. Y'all, let me just tell you what's about to happen. Y'all ready? The moon is going to get in front of the sun, and that's it. What's that got to do with prophecy? I said, the rest of what's on my board? Nothing. What's that got to do with Jesus coming back? Nothing. What does this mean spiritually? Nothing. Well, maybe one thing, God's in control. And if God wants to put the moon in front of the sun or the sun in front of the moon, he can do what he wants to when he wants to. Amen. Listen, not one thing. I know old John Hagee. I mean, it's amazing how many independent Baptists listen to John Hagee. He's a false teacher, by the way. If you don't know who I'm talking about, good for you. You're better off not knowing who he is. But because he's loud and he hacks a little bit, people think he's right. He's wrong. He'll tell you some blood moon's got to take place. Wrote a book and he brags about selling 1 million copies. Well, I mean, I'm sure the dope dealer brags about selling 1 million ounces of dope every year, too. Don't impress me because you sell 1 million books or not. You're wrong. The Bible's right. Are you listening? Not one thing that happened. So I'm saying this to say all this. Jesus is coming. And we don't know when. Might be today. There's clouds in the sky today. One of them might be the one he steps out on. Listen, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen very soon. What I'm trying to say, yet a little while, the light's with you. See, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved after this thing's over. You're not going to get to some holding cell in eternity, what they might call purgatory, and your family buy your way into heaven. You're not going to get to some holding place some bottom layer of heaven, and you be able to do some works in that bottom layer and move up the ladder into heaven. No. Your chances are gone after this life. And you're not going to get to hell and beg to be released there either. The rich man started talking to Abraham about the things of God, but it was too late for him. Yet a little while. Yet a little while. See, the Lord knew that there is only a short time for a person to hear and respond to him. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said it like this, that he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, there is a day of salvation. There is a day. And that day is waning. And that day is going away for all of us. See, all of us think we're living, but really we're dying. You're closer to dying today than you was yesterday. You say, you're trying to scare me? No, I ain't trying to scare you. I don't know even how to scare you. I'm just preaching truth. We don't know when our last breath is going to be. Some of you have got big plans. I got big plans. We started this week, this morning in Sunday school, talking about stewarding life. And how to steward the life that God has given us. And man, I'm looking forward to this series. And man, I got all these plans I want to do for God. And these things I got. I mean, I got big stuff I want to do for God. But I don't know if I'm going to get to fulfill any of that. And you don't know if you're going to get to fulfill another day. Yet a little while. That day of salvation is waning and darkness is approaching. And watch this. If you don't appropriate the light while you have the light, you're going to lose it. Your opportunity is going to be gone. So Jesus, and don't get ahead of myself, so Jesus says, while you got the light, walk. He says in verse 35, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Now, we don't think about it because we've had electricity our whole lives almost. I've had it my whole life. Never had a day without, I've had power cut off, but you know what I'm saying. And we don't think about this, but in that day, there was no electric lights. You traveled during the daytime because you could see clearly and you could be safe and you could be secure when you're walking in the day. And he's saying this, when you fail to heed the warning, when you fail to heed the warning of light, you're going to be like a traveler caught outside during nightfall, lost in the pitch blackness and starless moonless night. I never forget, we were in a situation. One time me and Chris Hewitt were up on Fort Mountain hiking and camping. We had hiked off far off into the woods and one of those what they call primitive campsites. Hiked probably about a mile and a half from the parking lot and all that stuff. We set up tent and set up camp and we started hiking. I kept saying, hey man, we got to get going. If we're going to do what we want to do and get back before dark. I said, man, I do not want to be on the side of this mountain in dark. You can be a tough guy if you want to, but I don't want to be on the side of no mountain in the dark time. And man, we got over, we hiked all the way over where we was wanting to go, and then we started hiking back. I said, man, if you don't hurry up, man. He was claiming he was sick. Now, I found out later he did. He got real sick. But I don't have no compassion on that stuff, man. You sick, don't come, all right? But I was like, dude, come on, man. It's good. And man, it got dark. I mean, it got dark. I could see through the trees way out there. I could see the lights over Chatsworth, the big city and everything. I could see the lights over there, but there wasn't no lights on that mountain. And man, we had some little headlamps, but I just didn't like that. Because I thought, man, I don't know what all's on this mountain. And I don't know what's on the mountain during the daylight, but I can see it for a whole lot further off in the daylight. But I mean, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, I'm scared. You can call me what you want to, but I'll tell you what I was scared. I wasn't scared of the darkness, but what was in that darkness. And I kept saying, Chris, we better walk while it's day. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you're not careful, if you keep heeding, you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, you're going to be caught in the dark. You're going to be caught in the dark and there's going to be no light at all in this darkness. The Bible calls it outer darkness. So he says this, walk while you have the light. Verse 36 is, while you have the light, believe in the light. Because the only time to walk and the only time to believe is while you got the light. Because once you get in this darkness he's talking about, there ain't no way out. See, we had a little hope, Get back to the campsite, we start that fire, there'll be a lot more light. Get back there and wait till morning, it'll be a lot more light. But there's no hope once you get in the darkness he's talking about. I think about this, and the reality is this, and this is what I'm trying to bring before us this morning, is the sobering truth is that when sinners persistently reject Christ, God may ultimately remove his grace and judge them. We don't like thinking like that, do we? But God, don't forget, God said to Nehemiah, through Nehemiah, he said, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiedest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets." Nehemiah's talking to God. You have forbear them. You have put up with them. And you've testified by your spirit. Yet would they not give ear. But they won't listen. You have had patience with them. You have been long-suffering with them. You had testified against them. And they won't hear. And this is what it says, "Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the land." Nehemiah recognized that God had been patient with them. God had been gracious with them. But because they just kept on rejecting, because they kept on resisting, God finally said, "You know what? You don't listen. I'll let you go off to the enemy." The psalmist said in Psalm 81, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." He said this, I tried, I called on them. My voice was going out, they just wouldn't listen. And so finally, I just let them go to their lust. Let them go to their own way. Hosea the prophet, he said this in Hosea 4:17. "Ephraim is joined to idols." This is, let him alone. Ephraim there is a symbolic name for the northern part of it. He says, let him alone. He's gone the way he wants to go. Let him alone. But I'm telling you what, it'd be a sad day when God lets a sinner alone. See, we don't talk about that a lot anymore. It's very touchy, and we get kind of, we don't like that idea that God will leave a sinner alone. But see, God did it with Israel. They rejected him. And when they rejected him, God tried, and he went after him, but they rejected him, and he finally let them go to their consequences. And Nehemiah said, he let them go into captivity. He let them go into bondage. They rebelled, and they grieved the Spirit of God, and so he turned himself. And Isaiah said it like this, they rebelled, vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. In Romans chapter 1, well, we don't like reading Romans 1. Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. But verses 24, 26, and 28 tells us that as the man is going the way he wants to go, and he keeps rebelling, and he keeps going, and he keeps rejecting, in verse 24, he said, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." God just gave up on them. Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections," in verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient." And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27 tells us that those who go on sinning, willfully refusing to repent, after receiving the knowledge of truth, after they receive the knowledge of truth and they just keep on willfully sinning, there's no longer remains a sacrifice. This is what it says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." What's that mean? It means this: until you come to a place where you recognize your sinful condition and recognize the only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing else God's going to do about it. He's not changing the way of salvation to fit you. Me and God's got our own thing worked out. No, you don't. God has never made an individual covenant with just one person. Even Abraham's covenant wasn't Abraham's covenant. It was the Abraham's seed. It's all people. He never made a covenant just with one person, except with himself. Amen. He's not working out just a deal for you and a deal for them and a deal for them. Ain't but one deal that was made, and that's at the cross. And you reject that and you keep going willfully in your own way, God steps back and says, all right. I've told the story before. I remember Nolan was smaller and he was riding on some kind of power wheel and he kept getting close to the ditch. And I kept saying, boy, stop getting close to that ditch. I'd stop him. I'd pull him back up. Stop getting close to that ditch. Stop getting. And finally, I said, you know what? I'm done. And I watched him. Whoop, right off into the ditch. Man, they said, why didn't you holler at him? I said, I've been hollering. I've been talking to him. I've been pulling him away from it. I've been pulling him away. You know what? Just let him go. And guess what he didn't do after that? He didn't go back in the ditch. I know you can't teach lessons like that all the time. There's times God just backs up and says, all right, you want to keep going that way? And then the picture's given in verse number 36. While you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. And then these things spake Jesus, and watch this, and departed and did hide himself from them. See, they rejected him, and he turns and in a way rejects them. He hides himself from them. This is the last final call. It goes on to talk about some prophecy here, and just say a little bit about it. We may deal with it more in detail, maybe not, but he quotes Isaiah in verse 38. He says this, Lord, who hath believed our report? And the answer to that question is, seems like nobody. Who's believed our report? Watch, the verse before this says this, but though he had done many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Who hath believed our report? Looks like nobody. And then look at the next part. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? To everybody. The arm of the Lord, that's the miracles. As Jesus did those miracles, he was showing the arm of the Lord. He was showing the power of the Lord. He was showing his divinity. He was showing who he really was. He was showing what he was, who he was, and what he could do. And yet, he revealed it to everybody. He didn't hide it from anybody. But though they saw his miracles, they believed not. And here's the sad reality. Verse 39 says, Therefore, because they wouldn't believe, because they would not believe, therefore, they could not believe. He quotes Isaiah again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Here's what God said through Isaiah. Because he showed himself who he was, the knowledge of truth was given to him. And because they've not believed it, God's cut them off. Because they closed their eyes, God blinded them. Because they closed their ears, God deafens them. Because they hardened their heart, God hardened their heart. We see it with Pharaoh in Exodus. 10 times, Pharaoh hardened his heart towards God. You know what happens? 10 times God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Now people get nervous about this stuff because we think that God, we start thinking off into that what people call Calvinism or fatalism. God picked some for heaven and some for hell. No, he's picked all for heaven. He's not willing that none should perish. Amen. He's wanting to make us all vessels of glory. But what's happened? There's some who just reject and reject and reject and reject. God says, all right. Have your way. All right. Go your way. Now he stands and he stands in front of them waving and saying, no, hey, the way of man is destruction. The way seemeth right to a man, the end thereof is death. Oh, please don't go that way. I am the way. Follow me. Believe on me. Repent of your sin. Go my way. He's waving. He's putting people out there to wave the flag and say, don't go, don't go, don't go. But when they keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, eventually, Now, when is that? I don't know. I tell you ultimately when it is, when their life is over. I don't know. I don't know where the time comes that God withdraws himself from a man except when they breathe their last breath. I heard a story just this week. There was a preacher telling me about his cousin was in the hospital. He said, I went in, and as soon as I walked through the door, he started cussing me out. He said, I ain't never liked you. Never liked you. I don't want to hear what you got to say about your God. I don't want to hear anything about your God. Don't come in here and tell me nothing about that. I've never liked you. Are you God? Get out of here. He said, later that day, he died, shaking his fist at God. I don't know if God cut himself off way before then, but when that man died, God cut himself off. You don't know when that's going to be. Now, may I just say application? I know we're just walking through the text. This truth is literally for those that are lost. The interpretation, the literal interpretation is that Israel is lost. So may I just say, if you are lost here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Israel had all religion, right? They had all the stuff, right? Looked really good. But they rejected the Savior. And you, I don't know who's here and who's not, is lost. I don't have any idea about that. I know what you tell me, and I say, well, I believe that testimony. And if you're not saved this morning, you don't know. You got light now. You got light right now. You got light. And while you got light, won't you believe in the light? But may I just say, this practically can speak to all of us. Practically. Christian, what are you waiting on to get right with God? Maybe a Christian here that's not right with God. And God has given you some light about areas in your life that you need to get right. God has given you some light and revealed to you maybe through preaching, maybe through teaching, maybe through just conversating, maybe through somebody who just cares about you, has said something about your life or about the thing, or just maybe just the Holy Spirit of God has dealt with your heart about something in your life, Christian, that you don't have right. And there's light now. God's trying to get you to get right with it. You keep rejecting that light, you may end up in some darkness. Well, I believe there's some people out there. I believe there's some people that are saved, but they're living miserable lives this morning because they have rejected the light over and over and over again. And they're living miserable lives. And I know there's a lot of lost people out there living miserable lives because they've rejected the light. Yet a little while, the light's with you. Walk while you have the light. While you have the light, believe in the light. If you're lost this morning, won't you believe in the light? If you're saved this morning and God's using the light to reveal something to you, won't you run to the light this morning? He hides himself away, and the next time he comes out in the public is when they arrest him and have him on the platform there with Pilate. The next time he comes out to the public, that crowd that heard him say that is crying out, crucify him. We're about to close this chapter out. Next chapter, we're going to be in the upper room with the disciples. The rest of the story is just with the disciples in the upper room, in the garden, and then he's arrested. While you got the light, run to the light. Yet a little while, you have the light. Don't let the light go out in your life. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. I've given the burden of my heart this morning. I try to be true to the Word of God. Christian, is there anything in your life that you could, the Lord maybe been dealing with you about that you need to get right? Maybe there's somebody here who don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. All you know about Him, you've heard the gospel over and over and over again. Don't reject Him. Don't resist Him. Don't turn Him away for any reason whatsoever. Do you know for sure that you're saved this morning?